It's the tallest structure at Uxmal, being 10 stories high, and it's called the Pyramid of the Magician. They say that the magician still lives inside the pyramid, and for those daring the climb, he'll often cast his multicolored spell over them. But I think it would take more than just the magic of a rainbow to get me to climb up there. But whether one climbs the pyramid or not, the fascination of Uxmal lingers on through the centuries. Just 50 miles to the north of Uxmal, like a white oasis in the green jungle, is the city of Mérida, spreading out under the hot tropical sun. Founded in 1542 on the site of an ancient Mayan city, Mérida is not only the capital of the Yucatan, but it's one of the most captivating cities in all of Mexico. In fact, when the Mexican tourists themselves from other parts of the country come down here to visit, they say it's like taking a trip abroad. Mérida is especially famous for its colorful carriages called calesas, so we thought a ride in one would be a good way to explore the city and leave the driving to them. We pass the municipal palace, noted for its arched portals and reminiscent of the Moorish architecture found in southern Spain. Rounding the corner, we came to the Casa Montejo, the first private residence in Mexico. It was built by the Montejo family from Spain, who founded the city. The facade arrogantly pictures the Spanish standing on the heads of the conquered Mayans. Well, no wonder they vanished from here. We continued on out of the main square to investigate the rest of Mérida, and were very much surprised to find so many rainbow-hued houses neatly lining the streets. This certainly didn't look like most other Mexican towns we'd visited. This seemed more like some tropical island in the Caribbean, or a colorful resort town in southern Europe. It was certainly easy to see why the Mexican tourists said that this felt like taking a trip abroad. We were equally surprised to find ourselves on a wide, spacious boulevard, surrounded by many opulent mansions. The mansions were built with the wealth derived from raising henequen, a fiber used in the manufacturing of everything from ropes and rugs to hats and hammocks. And here we felt as though we were on a boulevard in Paris, even to a French chateau. Not only did the wealth contribute to building the beautiful houses, but also to the building of parks, plazas, and monuments, such as this impressive one, commemorating Mérida's history from Mayan to modern times. Our driver continued on, taking us to the city's open-air market, bustling with its daily activities. Here we noticed how all the market women wear the typical Mayan dress. Also, we became aware of the natural warmth and friendliness of the Mayan Indians. They're an ancient people, and as I said, mystery still surrounds their origin. However, their faces do seem to confirm the theory that somehow in eons past, they managed to migrate to this continent from the Orient. The shadow of our horse seemed to fade back through the centuries to other great Mayan ruins, those of Chichen Itza. Here a sacred serpent symbolically guards its ancient temples. Chichen Itza is much larger in area than Uxmal, although its origins and history are very much the same. It's only 75 miles north of Mérida, yet it's a city that stretches back in time, or ruins rather, that stretch back in time over 1,500 years when the Mayans first built these structures. Atop the Temple of the Warriors is a figure of Chacmool, their rain god, still guarding his vanished domain. Majesty, myths, and mystery still surround these awesome ruins that rise out of the silent jungle. Should you decide to explore off on a jungle path, remember to watch out for snakes. Stone ones, that is. They had some rather bizarre customs. One of the least appealing to us was here at the sacred well, where Mayan maidens were hurled to their death to appease the rain god. That was certainly before a woman's lib. These people had other odd habits, too. When playing a ball game, the winning team killed the captain of the losers. then took all the spectators' clothes and jewelry. I think I'd have left at the half. It took incredible ability to build these temples, and it appears to take incredible ability to climb them. There's a rumor going around that they plan to establish a Weight Watchers Club up at the top. The story of the Mayans who built this great empire remains locked within these silent stones. But in the surrounding countryside, their descendants still live. In many ways, the Yucatan is like another Mexico, or even a country within a country. Before air travel, the roadless jungle land of the Yucatan Peninsula was cut off from the rest of Mexico. So life in many of these more remote areas has been going on in very much the same way down through the centuries. We had come here to find Gaspar Shu, the direct descendant of the last ruling Mayan king, and finding him turned out to be quite an adventure for us. We had jungles to go through, streams to cross, and even rivers to forge. From New York to Yucatan had been over a 5,000-mile drive, but this was the most memorable, and I might add, scary part of the whole trip. And this was the first time we had ever had to carve out our own road. It's easy to see why burros are the principal form of transportation in this part of the world. We stopped along the way to inquire as to where we can locate Gaspar Shu. He's very well known in the area, so after several directions, at last we found him. Gaspar Shu is pure Mayan, as his face so wonderfully reveals. He's of royal blood, being the direct descendant of Tutal Shu, the last ruling king of the Mayan Empire. Here he's showing a curator from a museum some of the many original Mayan artifacts handed down in his family for generations. As was the custom, these figures, representing household gods, were buried in the graves of his ancestors over 1,500 years ago. Although not a king, Gaspar Shu is in politics and is a congressman from his district. Here he's talking with some people in the village of Mani, one of the 20 villages he represents. Before entering politics, Shu was a director of the local school, but now that he's a congressman, he likes to visit with his constituents. And of course, being a good politician, babies come in for attention too. Looks like Gaspar Shu's future political career is secure with the younger Mayan generation. An important stop for Shu is at the house of the chief in one of the hamlets of his district. A chief's job is similar to that of a mayor's in our towns, although his attire certainly isn't. Actually, it's the customary dress of a Mayan chief. With much to accomplish, the two politicians hit the Yucatan campaign trail. The principal language spoken here is ancient Maya, and we thought you'd like to hear just a bit of it. Well, that makes about as much sense as some of the things our politicians say. The chief's hamlet reflects a simple way of life in this remote jungle area, and here it's the men who are proud of their weaving ability. He's making a new bed, which in this part of the world is always and only a hammock. In the gracious Mayan manner, the chief invited us, and all of you, to come and stay as guests in his village. Wouldn't he be surprised if we all took him up on it? Having had a great experience in this part of the world, we left the Yucatan and headed back up north for the state of Oaxaca and its pre-Hispanic ruins of Mitla and Matialban. Here the remains of the Zapotec Mixtec Indian civilization date back as far as 700 BC, and as recently as 1932, priceless art treasures and gold jewelry were unearthed here, considered some of the finest discovered anywhere in the world. The ruins lie a few miles outside the city of Oaxaca. Dominated by its cathedral, Oaxaca is one of the oldest cities in southern Mexico. Smoothly combining the flavors of pre-Hispanic, colonial, and modern times, Oaxaca is a popular place to visit all year round, but even more so at Christmas time. Now in the Zocalo near the cathedral, religious figures are displayed. And in the marketplace, everyone's getting ready for the holiday season. The stalls and stands are gaily bedecked with Christmas decorations, as well as floral ornaments. And the people here, as everywhere this time of year, are busily doing their Christmas shopping. And it looks like they did their share. Oaxaca is especially famous for a Christmas festival. It's unique in the world and takes place every December 23rd. It's called the Night of the Radishes. On this night, a simple radish isn't considered for a salad, but for a prize as a work of art. The radishes of various shapes and sizes are skillfully carved and designed by the farmers into fanciful figures. Then the best ones are awarded prizes. The festival's origin is obscure, although it's been taking place for centuries. It attracts people from everywhere, too. On this night, homage is paid to the lowly radishes, who for these brief but brilliant hours become stars. They even have topless radishes here. Well, the next time you pass the radishes, just remember their night of glory. North of Oaxaca is a colonial town of Taxco. Taxco is so perfect that the Mexican government has made it a national monument, which means no changes can be made, and any new buildings must have special permission. Taxco has long been famous for its prolific silver mines, which brought fortunes to the mine owners and now brings tourists to the many silver shops. But today, the silver's not the attraction. It's the animals. A variety of pampered pets accompanied by their owners are getting ready for a very special occasion, the blessing of the animals. All over Mexico, every January 17th is set aside especially for them. It's done in honor of the patron saint of the animals, Saint Anthony. As church blessings do entail a bit of water, I guess this one didn't want to get her hair wet. Taxco is dominated by its 18th century Santa Prisca Church, considered one of the finest examples of Baroque art in the Western Hemisphere. Here by the church, the children and their pets have gathered and are waiting in happy anticipation for the blessing. Things in Mexico are often not run with timetable punctuality. This ceremony, which was supposed to start at 10 o'clock in the morning, actually didn't get underway until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Luckily, though, no one seemed to mind, and they all just waited patiently on the church steps. In order to while away the time, a curious puppy investigates his neighbor, much to its owner's concern. The group of feathers, fluff, and fur patiently awaits the priest's arrival. Finally, their long vigil was rewarded when Father Lopez appeared to perform the ceremony of the blessing of the animals. For this one brief moment, the little animals and birds are the center of attention as they receive their blessings. I didn't understand the Padre's Spanish too well, but at the end, I thought I heard him say, "Go and sin no more." Well, his words certainly fell on deaf ears here.